I seek refuge in Allah. I seek refuge in Allah, the all-hearing, all-knowing, from Satan, from Satan.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله The Messenger of Allah صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم has said When Thursday arrives, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends angels who have papers made out of silver and pens which are made out of gold. And they write the name of every such individual who sends durood upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the day of Thursday and on the night of Friday. Meaning the night between Thursday and Friday. Whenever we are blessed with that night, we should recite the durood upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam so we may become from those fortunate individuals whose name is written by the angels on the papers which are made out of silver and the writing which will be in gold. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alaihi wa alihi wasallam. Welcome back to the program, The Deadly Sins, in which we talk about those sins which cause the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those sins which take a person away from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which takes a person away from the path of paradise and puts him on the path towards the fire of hell, and ultimately those sins which can cause a person to lose his iman. Now the sin that we're going to talk about today is a sin which is very easy to commit. It's a sin which is very accessible. Whether it's somebody's old, somebody's young, somebody's inside, somebody's outside, somebody is on his day-to-day routine, whatever this person is doing, they can fall victim to this sin. And what is that sin? Gazing upon haram. Gazing upon that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden us from. And today we will talk about how our pious predecessors protected themselves, how we can protect ourselves, what are some of the punishments upon the person who fills his eyes with haram. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sayyidina Yunus bin Yusuf Rahimahullah was a very famous blessed saint of his time. He had dedicated his youth in worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was very frequent in coming in and out of the masjid. He used to pray in the masjid all the time. He used to be attracted and attached to the masjid, and he was a very religious man. Now, once he was coming out of a masjid, when suddenly his gaze fell on a young woman, and his heart inclines towards her for a moment. But he felt ashamed of this action. He was fearful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He knew that this is an act which is forbidden by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when this state of spiritual ecstasy overtook him, he raised his hands in the dua of, in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he did dua, and he says, Oh Allah, I gained benefit from my eyesight for as long as you wished. Now I am fearful that because of my eyes, I may be thrown into the fire of hell. So take these eyes away from me. Take the blessing of eyesight away from me. When he made this dua, he became blind. Now, because he was still attached to the masjid, he had a nephew who he would use the help of to go to the masjid and to come back to the masjid, and any other daily needs that he needed to attend, he would use the help of his nephew to do so. Now one day, his nephew drops him off to the masjid and he goes away to play with his friends. And the Shaykh, Sayyidina Yunus bin Yusuf, rahimahullah, he feels something crawling upon his body. And in this state, he calls out to his nephew. He says, Oh nephew, come help me. I need your help. But because the nephew is outside playing with his friend, he is unaware of this call. So this Shaykh once again raises his hands in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he makes dua. He says, Oh Allah, if I don't get my sight back, It turns out to be a trouble and disgrace for me because I am unable to see anything and I am fearful something might damage me. And he had not finished his dua yet. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala returned his eyesight and he carried on with his daily routines. As Sayyidina Malik bin Anas radiallahu anhu states, Sayyidina Yunus bin Yusuf, the saint who we heard the story about, had not yet completed his dua. He was yet to finish his dua, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had already accepted his dua. This is the power of the awliya. This is the power of the saints of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that if they are to swear by the name of Allah, if they are to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for something, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant them that thing. Did you see the story of this great man, that even though he bared a difficulty in this world, even though he took loss upon himself by removing his eyesight, but he protected and he prioritized his hereafter and he saved that. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. We live in a society today where it is very difficult for a person to save his gaze. It is very difficult for a person to refrain from looking at something. And due to this, because we look at so much haram within our days, we do not feel the peace in our salah. Now let me ask you something. You wake up in the morning, you look at your phone, you're looking at haram. You go to work, there's women, there's people who you should not be looking at. There's people who you're not supposed to interact with. And you're doing that. You come home, you're watching TV, there is things that you shouldn't be watching. Now after a full day of seeing things which you're not supposed to see, you stand in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to pray. It is a psychological effect on a person that whatever he has seen during the day, that will come in front of him. So when he is standing in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he's trying to visualize himself in the court and he's trying to humble himself, but because of that filth that has entered his mind, because of that things that he has been seeing daily, those will keep regurgitating in his mind, those will keep coming into his mind, and he will be distracted in his salah. So as they say, the eyes are the windows to the heart. Whatever the eyes see, whatever the eyes absorb, that picture gets glued and sticks in your heart. So if you have these difficulties in prayer, or if you have difficulties in concentrating because you see so much coming in front of you, then one way to protect yourself is to control your gaze. The Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu has narrated that the beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam has stated, "Al-mar'atu awratun fa'idha kharajat istashrafaha ash-shaytan." That a woman is an awra. Now the literal definition of an awra is for something to be concealed, for something to be hidden. That's why we call a woman awrat as well, because it is a thing that needs to be hidden, it is a thing that needs to be concealed. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, a woman is an awra, when she comes out, shaitan peeps at her. So those brothers who go out in the marketplaces and they go with the intention of looking at women, looking at ghair mahrim women and having dirty thoughts come into their minds, remember, this act is not the acts of human. Going out to look at a woman is not the acts of a human, but rather it has been described as the act of shaitan. So next time when you are in that state, when you are outside and you are intentionally gazing upon women who you should not be gazing at, remember, you are doing an act which the shaitan does. Sayyidina Imam Ghazali rahimahullah has said, while speaking about the protection of the eyes, while speaking about the importance of keeping your gaze protected, he says a person who does not have the ability to protect his gaze from looking at haram, he will not have the ability to protect his private parts from haram as well. Why? Because like we said before, that the eyes are the windows. The first thing a person will absorb, the first thing a person interacts with is by seeing. So when he sees that thing and it enters in his heart, and when that desire enters his heart, then he will do those things which he should not be doing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the glorious Quran, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل للمؤمنين يغضوا من أبصارهم ويحفظوا فروجهم ذلك أزكى لهم إن الله خبير بما يصنعون. Translation from Kanzul Iman: command the Muslim men to keep their gaze low and to protect their private organs. That is much purer for them. Indeed, Allah is aware of their deeds. So in this verse of the Holy Quran, we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the men, and He says to the men that lower your gaze, that keep your gaze lowered and protect your private parts. As a man, we make statements which we should in regards to women, but remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses us directly, addresses the man directly, and He says to them, lower your gaze. Before you even speak bad of anybody, before you even think bad of anybody, you yourself should protect. If you cannot protect, then the next step comes. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the beauty of the religion of Islam is that it cuts the problem at its foundational source. It cuts the problem at its beginning stages. Because what happens? You look and then you desire. You desire, then you act. But Islam, the beauty of it, the beauty of the principles of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that Islam puts a barrier at the early stages so things do not escalate. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in relation to this ayah, people have commanded to lower their gaze, and it is compulsory for a bondsman to act upon the command of his Lord. Otherwise, he will be pronounced to be disrespectful. He will be stopped and not allowed to go in the court of his Lord. As stated in the blessed verse, ذَلِكَ الْأَزْقَى, that is much purer for them, meaning it purifies their heart and increases their virtues. In the blessed saying, it has been mentioned about the purification of the heart, that if a person's heart is not clean, then his actions go to waste. Because when a person's heart is clean and he fulfills those actions for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that has an effect on his heart. What have we learned from the narrations and the sayings of the awliya? That when a person, he commits a sin, a black dot appears on his heart. When he commits another sin, another black dot appears on his heart. He carries on this way to the extent that his whole heart is covered with black dots and no light of nur or guidance enters it. And this is a state that every person must seek protection of Allah. Because when you become unaware that you are even committing a sin, when sins become habitual to you, when they become second nature to you, then that is the most difficult of states. Why? Because you do not consider to be doing anything wrong. And when you cannot point out the problem, then you cannot go towards the solution. So the number one thing about finding any problem, any resolution, is to first visualize, is to first accept the fact that there is a problem. And when a person, he does not accept that there is a problem, then he cannot cure himself from that problem. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned a lot in relation to a people of to protect their eyes. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, avoid sitting in the ways, meaning avoid sitting in the streets. The blessed companions radiallahu anhum humbly said, there is no way out of it, as there are our sitting places where we talk, where we interact, where we socialize. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if you sit there, then fulfill the rights of that place, fulfill the right of that way. The blessed companions radiallahu anhum said, Ya Rasulullah, what are the rights of the pathway? What are the rights of the way? And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, the first thing is that you lower your gaze. The second thing is that you remove any harmful thing in the way. The third thing is that if anybody conveys his salam to you, you reply to his salam. The fourth thing is you enjoin in that good which is being done. And the last thing, you forbid that evil which is being taken place. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In another place, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, you must lower your gaze and protect your private parts, and straighten your face, otherwise Allah Azza wa Jal will disfigure your faces. And then the hadith of Abu Dawood, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said, after you cast a gaze, do not cast the second gaze, because the first gaze is permissible, but the second is impermissible. So here, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has told us a general rule, that when the first gaze falls upon a woman, then that is forgiven. But the second gaze, you will be held accountable. Now we get some clever brothers who say things as, if I look at her, but I do not look away, then that is still my first gaze. No. Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi rahimahullah and Mufti Amjad Ali Azmi rahimahullah has written that if a person unintentionally gazes upon a woman and then he looks away, then that gaze is forgiven. However, if he looks upon her unintentionally, and now within that gaze, his intention changes, now he will become sinful. So you cannot use that loophole that if I look at a woman once and I keep staring at her, that is only counted as one gaze. No, but that is counted as multiple gazes, and you are held sinful for all of those. And now, who must we protect ourselves from? As a man, he must protect himself from his aunties, aunts, except the sisters of his father and the sisters of his mother. And similarly, for a man, he must protect his gaze, he must do parda, he must cover himself from his sister-in-law, whether that is the sisters of his wife or the wife of his brothers. So this way, these are some of the general rulings. And sometimes you get people who are your so-called cousins, who are your so-called brothers and sisters, who are your so-called aunties and mothers and fathers. Remember, because you do not have a biological connection with those, it is necessary for you to keep a parda from them. It is necessary for you to protect yourself and cover yourself from those as well. It has been stated that there was a man, a companion, Sayyidina Rabi bin Khaysam rahmatullah alayh, and he would keep his gaze so lowered that people thought he was blind. That when he would go to visit his friends and the slave would open the door, the slave would say that, "Oh man, your blind friend has come to meet you." Meaning his gaze was so lowered, he was so protectful of his gaze that people were unsure whether he had sight or not. And it has been said that Sayyidina Abu Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, when he would see Sayyidina Rabi bin Khaysam rahmatullah alayh, that companion who would keep his gaze so low that people thought he was blind, he would recite the verse, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Wabashiril Mukhbiteen, and give glad tidings to the humble people. And after reciting this verse, he would say, Wallahi, by Allah, if the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was to see you, he would be happy with you. And in another narration, he says that if the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was to see you, he would like you a lot. And in another narration, he says if the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was to see you, he would see you in a state that he sallallahu alayhi wasallam is smiling. This is the belovedness. This is how dear protecting your eyes is to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would get happy, he would smile, he would give glad tidings to the one. And we should also protect ourselves from looking at haram. We should also protect ourselves from looking at things which are unlawful. A man came into the court of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, give me permission to commit fornication. Give me the permission to do adultery. And the companions radiallahu anhum, when they seen this, they became extremely uncomfortable. They were thinking, this person has came in the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and what kind of words, what kind of tone, what kind of sentences he's using in the most majestic court. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stopped his companions and called that man closer to him. And when that man came closer to him, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, how would you like if someone committed adultery with your mother? And he said, by Allah, I would not like it, I would hate it. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, just as you do not like it to happen to your mother, people don't like it happening to their mothers. And then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that, how would you like it if someone did this with your sister? And he said, by Allah, I would not like it. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that those women you want to do it with, they are somebody's sister as well. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam asked about his auntie, and he gave the same answer that he would not like it. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that those women are somebody's auntie as well. And like this, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam explained to that person on his level what he was seeking for, what he was asking for, what he wanted to do was an extremely bad act. And this is something for us to learn as well, that when we gaze upon haram, when we look at women, remember, if that is somebody's mother, we have mothers at home. If we look at somebody and she's somebody's sister, we have sisters at home. If we look at somebody who's a daughter, Remember, we might have daughters or we will have daughters in the future as well. So before you look at somebody else, before you speak bad of a woman, remember you have women in your household as well. And our teacher says a beautiful thing. He says that some people, they speak very loosely of women. They say women are like this, women are of this character, women have this habit, women have that habit. And our blessed teacher says that when you generalize a comment about a woman, remember your own mother comes in that comment as well. So we should be very careful and we should be very respecting of women. And if you are a true man, then you will fulfill these obligations as well. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Sayyidina Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhu has said that a person who was bleeding came in the blessed court of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, "What has happened to you?" He humbly replied, "A woman passed by me. When I looked at her, my eyes constantly followed her. Suddenly a wall came in front of me and I got injured." The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "When Allah does good to someone, He punishes them in this world." Meaning, because you were doing a wrong thing, because you were doing something which was not good, instead of you taking that punishment in the hereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inflicted you with the difficulty in this world. And that is compensation for that wrong thing you did. And remember, we need to recompensate for the sins that we do in this world. And the best way to do so is by doing tawbah, is by asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to protect our gaze. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to keep our gaze lowered and only look at that which He has made lawful for us. Ameen bijahin nabiyil ameen. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم.
I seek refuge in Allah. I seek refuge in Allah. The all-hearing, all-knowing from Satan. From Satan.